Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Thank you, Andrew, and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. It's a solo show this week. Unfortunately, you know, after the football season, there's not a lot going on before the start of the baseball season. I know that at the time of recording this, there's about 58 days before the beginning of the baseball season, but spring training is going to start very soon. The NFL Combine is coming up. But aside from that, you know, there's basketball and hockey, which is going on right now. The NBA just had their All-Star game. Russell Westbrook took home the MVP for the West. He had 41 points. Just a really good showing by him and the West team. But, you know, the scoring was outlandish. But that's kind of what you expect from a NBA All-Star game. It's not a defensive game. Much like how the Pro Bowl, you know, you're not going to go there and you're going to see a lot of complicated defenses and low scoring. It's going to be high scoring. I think the only All-Star game which would be considered low scoring would be the baseball All-Star game. It seems like pitching always has a tendency to dominate over the hitters. You know, hockey, that's somewhat loud. Just, I think it was 7-6 this past All-Star game. A lot of scoring. Again, that's what you expect. You're putting all these really good offensive players on the field. And, you know, that's what people want. They want to see the high-scoring games. So, yeah, Russell Westbrook, he very rightly so took home the MVP. With that All-Star game, it was in New York City. At the Garden, the Barclays Center in Brooklyn and Madison Square Garden shared a lot of the duties for the All-Star game. A lot of the pre-game activities, like the three-point shooters and the slam dunk contest that took place in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, and the actual All-Star game took place at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. In that game, though, I found it interesting that Paul and Marc Gasol were the first set of brothers to start an All-Star game, the first set of brothers, which I thought was really interesting. Before, on our previous episode, when my friend Greg had come to visit, we were talking about basketball, and you know, I gave a scenario of the Warriors and the Hawks meeting in the finals, and would we watch that game? But I also heard an interesting fact, that the last seven NBA champs had reached the All-Star break with a winning percentage of 700 or better. And actually, three teams this year reached the All-Star break with 700 winning percentage. The Warriors, the Hawks, and the Grizzlies. You know, the Warriors and the Hawks being the with the two highest winning percentages over 700, I think really kind of works in their favor. So there's a possibility we might see them both, or one of them, or we might even see the Grizzlies as well. In other news, speaking of baseball, there's actually some news coming out of the Yankees camp that they're going to be retiring not one, not two, but three numbers this year of their late 90s, early 2000s dynasty. They're going to retire number 20 for Posada, number 46 for Pettitte, and number 51 for Bernie Williams. I'll agree with Pettitte. And I'll agree with Bernie. I personally, no, I'm not a Yankee fan. And I hope to have more guests soon, of course, and I'd like to discuss it with them. But I don't know if Posada, it's necessary for him to get his. I mean, look, Ron Guidry got his number retired. And for the Yankees, Ron Guidry was a big historical player for the team. Maybe not for baseball in general. He had that amazing season. As an outsider, if I'm looking at him saying, Posada, really? Pettitte makes sense. You know, Pettitte was one of the core four, and Posada was one of the core four as well, but Pettitte was there in 96, and he was there from the beginning. Posada, he was behind Girardi for a bunch of seasons, and he really didn't take over the starting job until, like, I think like 2001. I'll have to look back at it, but Bernie obviously makes sense. I mean, Bernie, I think he's one of the leaders in playoff home runs in the history of the postseason, most home runs in the postseason. A lot of that's from divisional series and championship series and then World Series. But still, the fact that he's up there, and he was always clutch. I like Bernie as a Met fan looking into the Yankees. I like Bernie. Bernie's a good guy, although he's very insistent on playing his guitar, which is fine, but I don't understand. Is he that good that he needs to play with McCartney? I don't know. Posada's the weird one in that. But, and they're three. So three numbers are being retired. 20, 46, and 51. Somebody had said to me, you know, they're running out of numbers. They're not really running out of numbers. You know, I think Jabba was 58. You know, you might see more high numbers like that. You know, of course, 1 through 9 is out of the picture. 10 is probably going to be gone soon as well. There's not much of the low number. So if you want to come in and be a Yankee, go high. Pick a high number up there, which I think would be really interesting to see that. Right now, NHL's going well. The Islanders are doing really well. I hope to have a couple of my friends who are big hockey fans on to talk some ice hockey and all that stuff. But yeah, the combine's starting up. I don't understand why all these players don't want to throw at the combine. I understand if you want to have certain guys to throw to, maybe a receiver. Like Winston it's up in the air if he's going to throw. And as is Mariota, which I can understand, but at the same time, how much what difference does it make? If you're going to prepare for the combine, which means that you need to run a 40-yard dash, you need to do some high jumps, you need to do all this stuff, what's wrong with throwing a football as well? If that's the case, if it's who you're throwing it to, you know, I don't feel comfortable throwing it to this guy I've never played with before. That shouldn't matter. If you're so concerned about that, then I say that the NFL should allow it where you can bring in a guy to throw your football to. I feel comfortable with this guy. Much like in the Home Run Derby, where you have somebody you know throwing you the pitches. You know, if it's your brother, if it's your dad, if it's your bullpen coach, if it's the guy who throws batting practice for you during the season. That's fine. That's accepted. So I think the combine, if that's the issue, then the NFL combine should allow that. Okay, you can bring in your designated receiver for this. But at the same time, if you're not going to throw in their exercises, because they have, you know, they have little obstacles set up, you know, tall blocking dummies that you have to kind of run around and roll out, and then there's a target. So, and then you throw it into there. You know, it doesn't, to me, from the outside, it doesn't seem like it's really necessary for you not to do that. If you're not going to do that, to me, as a fan, I'm worried then what you consider to be a good enough time to throw. And even if you have a bad experience, quote-unquote, at the combine, for a lot of these guys it doesn't really matter. They're still going to take a flyer on you. In this league, in the NFL, where it is very obvious for many, many years now that the quarterback is the most important position. If you don't have a good quarterback, you will not go far. And with the absolute dearth of exceptional quarterbacks, the two that we look at are Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston. And there are a lot of teams that need good quarterbacks. A lot of teams. So they're going to take a flyer on you no matter what. No matter what. Especially those ones down at the bottom. You know, the Buccaneers need a quarterback. They got rid of Josh McCown, who apparently now is being looked at in Buffalo. Just to go off on the side note on there, if I'm Rex Ryan, not even if I'm Rex Ryan, I'm pleading to Rex, and I like Rex. I really wish he was still the coach of the Jets. But if you want to succeed, you need to get a top-flight quarterback. If you want to say that, oh, this is just a holdover for a year, okay, but why McCown? Why not just, I don't know, try it with E.J. Manuel? Because it's the same difference. Nothing else. You're working on a rookie contract with E.J. Manuel. You don't have to pay him that much. But that's beside the fact. So if there are all these teams looking for quarterbacks, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're going to put out a flyer on Jameis Winston. They're going to give it a try. They're going to see how it goes. And if it doesn't succeed, then they'll try again next year. They'll find somebody else next year. Or they'll keep working with him. Same thing with Marcus Mariota. A team's going to pick him up, and maybe they won't throw him out there right away and say, you're our starting quarterback this year. But they're still going to at least keep him in the system, try him, work with him, until he gets to the point where they say, okay, he can start. But that's just my two cents. We also have some big news here at Everyman Sports. We just got a Twitter now. We have a Twitter. It's at Everyman Sports. One word, at Everyman Sports. Please follow us on Twitter. We'll obviously be posting the episodes we have. We'll be keeping it interesting as best we can. Just throw us a follow. You know, hopefully we can make it into your Twitter followers. It's up to you. I'd like to give a shout out to one. We have a couple of followers. We have 10 followers right now as of Tuesday, February 17th. But I do want to give a shout out to TJ Barnes, defensive lineman for the New York Jets. Very happy to have you a part of us. Thank you very much for choosing us to follow. We like that. So we're on Twitter, and we also have a phone number that you can call. Leave a message where you can ask questions, comment on something we've talked about on an episode, give your opinions, whatever you want to do. And all we ask is you keep the language clean. If not, I'll go through it on my own. Spoiler alert, I'll go through and I'll make it family-friendly. But yeah, call up, say whatever you need to. I'll put it on as best I can, and you can be a part of the show. So let me give you the phone number. The phone number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. So you call, leave a message, I'll listen to it, put it on, respond to it, or make a comment on it from there. So please, don't forget to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, give us a call at our number. That, again, is 626-427-7678. And I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you very much for joining me this week. I know it's a short one. I know it's just me. I hope I didn't bore you too much, but hopefully we'll have more guests soon. So thank you very much. Take care. Andrew, take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.